We've been saying for a while that we're hitting a watermark time in our history. Watershed, I meant. A watershed moment in our history. And I knew watermark didn't sound right. But a watershed moment. And that just means it could tip one way or another. We just don't know. But don't we see right now what's going on in the culture? First of all, leading up to this time, my perception is that there was a beautiful movement of devout Christians who were winning the day, in my perception. And in that sense, they were driving the future of our country. And, you know, believing in God, that meant they believed in such things, or do believe, I'm using past tense here, they believe in such things as morals and values, virtues, principles, ethics, you know, that you're honest with people, that you easily forgive people, that you take care of people. All of this beautiful momentum, okay, has been surging in our country. And, you know, it appears that, and I just call it evil. You can plug any kind of group you want into that. Evil has rushed in and taken over. And one of the things evil is doing is to try to vilify or demonize this momentum that has been occurring in our country. And so we've seen that in the last week or so, that you are a mob, right? And we got to get tens of thousands of troops to protect our country from you. Do you see what's going on? In the marketing world, they call this a brand. And I'm going to just borrow that just for a second. A brand. So when I talked about this momentum of this faithful godliness, again, morals, virtues, values, ethics, principles, being honest with each other, you know, saying that that lying and cheating and stealing is not who we are, nor should it be who we perceive to be. And so perception matters as well. Why? Because we want people to understand that this movement, okay, and I'll just call it Christianity, this God-fearing, Scripture-loving movement, right, is something good, and it actually is something that is not only right for the country, but is something that stabilizes the country. Because what enters in is a sense of peace, okay, and order comes from this. If you let go of all that, and instead, the belief is that in order to get to a place we want to get, so like say, power and control, that lying, cheating, and stealing is permitted because of this greater good. You see, that's the other side's belief, that we need to get to this greater good, and so however we get there, it doesn't matter. And in fact, that's where we are right now. And it appears that the lying, cheating, and stealing, it appears in people's minds, if we're not careful and fall into despair, we could say bullying works. Bullying works. But we don't believe that, do we? At least I pray you don't believe that. So we're at this tipping point, this watershed moment where it could go one way or another. And the way it appears is going in the direction of bullying works, we need to prepare ourselves, because if they maintain control and power, we're going to get persecuted. Because one of the things they're first going to do is to destroy our brand. So then what happens? Beginning with the weakest among us, the people will start distancing themselves from you because you're a terrible mob. You're a dangerous, terrible mob, is what they're doing to destroy the brand of these beautiful, faith-filled, devout, scripture-loving children of God, children of light. So it's surging in that direction. And so you also see leaders in our church who are getting caught up in that rebranding of people who are devout. See, what many were calling for in the leadership of the church is a very watered down Christianity, one that doesn't threaten anybody. And so they would even say that, look where we are now. Where evil is tyrannical right now and is off the charts in throwing this persecution at faith-filled, God-fearing people. And so they would say that would have never happened if we were just watered down. In other words, non-threatening to them. You see, what we need to be is weak. We need to present our brand as weak. Because, see, then we won't threaten those who despise the Word of God and betray God. Okay, we won't threaten them if we appear weak. And also their calculation is that many people will join us because we're not threatening. And I just ask people to look at history, recent history. Churches are emptying out. Churches are closing all over the place. In our own church, you know, the startling news that there's only 30% left that actually believe that's God on the altar anymore. Because why? Because we didn't want to appear, our brand didn't want to appear too threatening. So let's not talk about things like the power of God, the power of grace. Let's not make our worship too sacred. Because again, that points to this thing about power. Because see, if you start talking about power and grace, then you got to start talking about letting go of our sins. And see, that's threatening. That's threatening. We can't do that. And by all means, let's not talk about the fact that there's a devil and he's trying to destroy our people, our church, our world. Let's not talk about that because that's heavy, that's intense. And so people... But in reality, what's happening? In those places where we are elevating the whole idea of the power of God and our desire to want to please Him in all ways and our desire to want to stay in that state of grace and to bring that power to the world, when we start talking about those things, those churches are surging among so many that are closing. Those churches are surging. But, and here it is again, evil hates that church. You see, it's a threat to what evil wants to do. And so here we are. This event on the Feast of the Epiphany, I think it'll be a few years figuring out why. Maybe it's just, you know, that this got us to a watershed moment that was necessary, so that we could then separate the sheep from the goats. A lot of me believes that's where we're at right now. That there is this light, right? Light came into the world. They followed the light. Remember, this year we've got the Christmas star. All things are pointing to this light coming in the darkness. This light that's shining on all things. And evil is panicked. And so evil is attacking you and me like we've never seen before. The persecution. Because evil feels so threatened that it feels it has to ramp it up to this level. Are you following me so far? You following me? And so what's going to happen during this time is some are going to choose to maintain the brand of faith-filled, on fire, devout, God-fearing Christians that want to please God at all times, even though that's a threat to the devil. And there's going to be those who maybe use religion as their brand and are seeing the devil destroying our brand. Again, you're the mob. You're dangerous. They're going to flee. They're going to distance themselves from us. And we're going to see this even with our church leaders. You know, see, we told you. Look. Look how divided we are right now. Because you were a threat. And so now we need to take action. Stop this strong Christianity. We want the weak one. So we're not a threat to evil. Stop it. Because look what's happening in our country. Because you had the audacity to be strong in your faith. Stop it. The leaders will tell us. Do you see what's happening? And I'm going to conclude now because I want to say here's where we are, but I need you, please pray. Please pray with me that we grasp hold of what I'm about to say, because I think it is absolutely the answer to what is killing us right now. All right? The gospel, or the first reading today, Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. Here I am. Thought it was Eli calling him. He was so young, he didn't get that God speaks to us. He didn't understand that yet. Eli had to tell him, Samuel, I think that's God trying to get a hold of you. He's calling you. Pick up. And so once again, God calls him, Samuel, Samuel. Here I am, Lord, for I have come to do your will. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In one of the Psalms, 42, it says, be still and know that I am God. We need to do that right now. In that first reading, it went on to say, after Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. You in your baptism, we in our baptism, were given a superpower to be prophetic like Samuel, so that not a word we speak is without effect. But we need to listen. Samuel, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I said this last week and I'll say it again. Those very words are anointed. There's a power given to them. Speak, for your servant is listening. When you speak that, it's as if God's ringing your phone and you pick up, hello, Lord. That makes the connection. But what do we need to do in order to be better listeners? Remember where Samuel was. He was in the temple where the ark of God was. See, this was the time before Jesus came to us on earth and gave us the most holy Eucharist. But what was the ark that was filled with things that God had touched? It was like relics of God. It was the closest thing to God made present on earth. And that's where he heard God, in the temple, next to these things. My brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ has given us the most holy Eucharist now. What a privilege time we live in our salvation history, so that we can do as Samuel did, get nearer unto the Lord. He was asleep in the temple. We come here in our churches, and we are by our new ark of the covenant. We are by the second person of the Holy Trinity himself, so that we can open up the phone lines and listen. I believe this with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that that's the movement we need to take right now. We need to get in God's presence, in his presence, in his presence. That's where grace will surge from. That's where light will come and push out this darkness. But I qualify it with this. We are not to hide behind our prayers. Our very first move is to get nearer unto the Lord. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament quietly. Speak the anointed words. Speak, for your servant is listening. Then listen to what he wants you to do and do it. Whatever mission that is. Some fresh examples of that. I told you that a week or so ago, I'm praying and reflecting on Scripture. It's a half hour before daily Mass. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, do an hour of adoration after every daily Mass. Yes, Lord. And by the way, I say these anointed words every time I approach sacred Scripture, every time I approach Eucharistic adoration, every time I approach the Mass. When I'm praying in the middle here, before I walk over to read the gospel and give the homily, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I've been doing that for years. And I call upon Mary, the Blessed Mother, to be with me. That's what I'm praying, just in case you're curious. My brothers and sisters, we need to connect to God. We need to stay strong and become stronger. Our strength is threatening evil. And we, like every Christian that has come before us, will be persecuted for that. Go ahead and be weak. Go ahead and count yourself as Catholic and promote abortion and every evil that betrays God. Pelosi and Biden and others. That's fine to evil. That's not a threat. Here's what else isn't a threat. You may not even know how I stand on things like abortion because I never speak up. Go ahead and do that, evil says. That's not a threat. But you dare show the brand of strength. And by brand, I don't mean to say this is false, or it's fake. It's the word that marketing people use. But we need to be, we need to not hide, to show our strength. And that's attractive to other people. They want to get on board. They want to enlist in this powerful army because they see it in you and I. There's a brand when we saw all those brave men and women sign up and enlist when wars broke out. It's a powerful brand. We're amazed by such heroism. We are called in this watershed moment, in this tipping point, to be heroes. I'll end one other thing that happened recently. My friend Stephen Harriet, he's praying with someone. And he says, in the middle of that, God says to him, do a holy hour on the steps of the state capitol every week. He calls me, and I said, if you were praying with that, it sounds like it's right from God. We're doing that. From 12 to 1 every Saturday, beginning January 30th, which is the vigil of St. John Bosco, we will be doing a holy hour on the steps, adoration and with benediction. Even if there's nobody there adoring, I'm going to be blessing the planet out in the open. Calls me later. He says, and he's fasting right now too, so he's all open. His phone lines are open. I got a name for it, Father. O-P-E-N, open. We're doing it in an open. And then we're going to adore. A-D-O-R-E. Say those two words together. Open a door. Boom. We're going to open a door to the power of God's grace into this world. And I said, see, that's how we listen too. When others receive, and we determine, this is from God. Do you see? And so be ready for that. January 30th, the vigil of St. John Bosco. I actually ordered two pillars. One's bigger than the other. In the dream of St. John Bosco, the Holy Eucharist was on a bigger pillar, and Our Lady, Help of Christians, was on the smaller one. We're going to actually have that out in front of the state capitol. It's a few months after Pope Benedict's election, he encouraged the whole church to trust in that voice that we're talking about that speaks so quietly and insistently. And so just as Mary did, we let Christ invade our lives. And so Pope Benedict said this, Mary thus stands before us as a sign of comfort, encouragement, and hope. She turns to us saying, have courage to dare with God. Try it. Do not be afraid of Him. Have courage to risk with faith. Have the courage to risk with goodness. Have the courage to risk with a pure heart. Commit yourself to God. Then you will see that it is precisely by doing so that your life will become broad and light. Not boring, but filled with infinite surprises. For God's infinite goodness is never depleted. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.